Craig, great chatting with you again.
Yeah, man. Good to catch up. How are things going?
Good. I feel like whenever we're recording, even though like so far we have stuck to like 1 week apart, that at least right now for me, it seems like it's been a lot longer than a week. Yeah, it's just been pretty nuts and a lot going on. So I think a lot of things we can dig into, whether it's we're hiring kind of across the board. I'm trying to just like stay on top of the business while onboarding people, while dealing with just like everything else. And it's just felt pretty crazy recently. So like I was saying, yeah, it seems like, well, it might've only been 7 days since we've caught up that a lot has happened in the meantime. How have things been on your end?
Yeah, same. I go through days where, you know, it's this time of day, you know, noon Eastern, 6 o'clock for me. And I'm like, okay, great. I'm done. Everything's good. And some days like today, I'm like, oh my God, I have like 3 or 4 more hours of work to do. Cause just there's stuff piling up that, yeah, I need to help people with or unblock or answer questions and emails and all this kind of stuff. So it definitely comes and goes even throughout the week. Some days are great. Some days are like today, just backed up. So, but it's good, man. I mean, I feel like things are going in the right direction for sure.
Yeah. That's really where it's been for me for like the last month, pretty much. Yeah. All of September, where it's been like, I've had my, cause normally what it is, it's like, all of our hires have been on the engineering side of things. My background's in marketing. It's like, I'll just kind of handle everything that's not engineering, whether it's support, whether it's just like admin stuff that has to happen for the business, marketing, whatever. And like, I felt like for a lot of it, I could move the ball forward enough on like the growth/marketing projects where I wasn't like, I could really use some help in these other areas. Like obviously there's things I don't want to deal with, but it's just been this last month where the like ad hoc things that come up, that whether it's support, whether it's like managing, now that we have more people, whether it's like managing those projects, it's just like, I feel like those are just sucking up so much of my time that it's been tough to move the ball forward on the growth side of things. And I mean, we're fortunate, we're like, we've kind of, the efforts we made before are continuing to pay dividends, but there's more we want to do. So we've, yeah, recently been making efforts to hire, kind of the first hire outside of engineering. We are bringing on, or actually at this point, like we're in the trial period of bringing on someone to help part-time for support. And so this is like, I've told my wife, like, I feel like once he's like fully ramped up and in the inbox, then I might just cry some tears of joy from just taking that primarily off my plate, because it's been crazy.
I'd love to take a step back, because you and I have chatted about this offline, but as much as you can share about, like, I mean, there's a lot to hiring, right? Like, how do you decide to hire? How do you actually hire? Like, what's the process, both for engineering and for someone like a support role? How do you onboard, and especially for support, like bring that person up to speed from a knowledge perspective? But maybe like we'll start at the beginning, and this might be a two-parter. I don't know. We'll see. But like, how did you decide you need to hire somebody?
It's been, yeah, there's always a balance the way I've approached it, where it's looking at first, just like looking at like the backlog of saying like, okay, like how much stuff is there to do with X, Y, or Z? And like, how valuable are those things? Because we could both come up with, probably have, like just like incredibly long lists of things to do, but that doesn't mean they all like need to be done right now. Like maybe if these things happen a year from now, if ever, that's fine. And so it's just really, on the product side is what's driven all the engineering hires, is that like there's just so much we want to get into the product where we're very confident like this will impact trial conversions, this will impact churn. Like these are things we know people want, these are things we know we need to get in there. And so like on the engineering side, it's been like a pretty straightforward calculus of just like, do we have the money to pay for this? We've gone back and forth on W-2 versus contractor for different positions, and had made a pretty expensive W-2 hire. But after kind of all the uncertainty around sports with COVID, basically had to downsize just for just like long-term sustainability reasons, where we could have technically kept his salary, but it just, there was too much uncertainty to do that. So we've kind of gone forward in more of a contractor position for that. But like the engineering side has just been where all of the resources have gone, because I felt like I had enough of a handle on the rest of it to just kind of keep moving forward there. Like, it wasn't as though I was saying, oh, if it wouldn't be valuable to move faster on these marketing things, but it just didn't seem more valuable than moving faster on the product things. And it's really just been recently where I feel like the balance is shifting. And now, like, I'm not moving quickly enough on marketing. And we do have a better feel on the product. Like, we have a good team in place there, and things are moving forward there. But that's kind of how I've looked at it. And I'm still working on building out the processes, and like, we don't have a great one in place for engineering. I feel like with contractors, it's been a lot easier, because I feel like having test projects is kind of the norm there. They're not like leaving their current opportunity, and kind of like putting all of their eggs in this basket. We do hope these will evolve into like full-time roles, and many of them currently are, but like, if the test project doesn't work out, I don't feel like I'm screwing them, but I'd be like, oh, sorry, like, you thought you had a job and now you don't. Whereas like, that's been the sticking point with the W-2. It's like, I just don't see how you can make it work. But when you're hiring engineers, do you do a test project? Like what is that project, that process like for getting someone on board? I know you put out a blog post that we should probably link up to that like really breaks down the process, but just to kind of dig into it a little bit more, like where do you net out when kind of onboarding and screening and all of that?
Yeah, so yeah, we wrote about this on, we call it Casto Central, which is like the place where we write about stuff that we do as a company. So we just hired a developer. He starts next a week from Monday, as we're recording this. And the way that we did it was, you know, write the job description, put it out. I'd love to find out where you found this person, because that's like a whole other thing. we found the most success through WeWork remotely. So job description goes out. The application is a Gravity form on our site that gets piped into a Google Sheet, so that I'm able to kind of manage all the applications from one place. And we kind of filter based on, like, we ask them to report, like, self-report on years of experience in different aspects of development. And then we're able to pretty quickly, like, filter out people that either don't answer all the questions or don't have the levels of experience through the Google Sheet. And then the first interview is with me. It's like, you know, culture fit, communication kind of interview. And then we gave a test project that was to be a couple of hours. And we didn't offer to pay for it. We would have if anybody asked, but it was short enough to where...
Right. It wasn't like a week-long thing.
Yeah, it's a couple hours. We gave them a week to do it. So okay. I think it's, you know... and then after that, they did an interview with our lead developer to talk about the test project. And from there, it was really clear there was one person that was by far the best. And that was a pretty easy decision. But that's how we did it this time. I don't know. How when you've hired developers, how have you guys done it?
It's been a mix. The contractor that's been with us the longest, basically the vast majority has just been through Upwork. What we've done is we will post like an actual test project, and I'll hire, we make it pretty independent of almost as independent from our code as possible. So that, like, we don't need to worry about as much about onboarding. It's really just to see like, okay, can they grasp this piece that like is valuable to us, but is relatively easy to explain. And we've tried, we usually will hire like 3 to 5 people for it. It's paid. And then from there, what we've done is just like kind of just get started with like moving them more into things that touch our code or that work with the rest of our systems and go from there. And for the most part, like that bigger upfront test project weeds out a ton. Like, it's like we have, it's similar to what you're saying, where you kind of have the first filter of just like the application, the second of then like how do they actually work. But yeah, we can tell relatively quickly through that how things are going to be. We still made a good amount of mistakes. And a lot of those have just been around like our lack of experience managing, us not putting enough effort into the onboarding part and just like not really being as proactive as we should about all that. So it's just been like a big learning experience. But on the technical side, having those kind of layers of tests before really jumping in full time has been a big help. And then I guess the other contractor we're working with, who he's been full time with us, very senior, US based. Matt, the founder of the company, went to like a local, I think it was like an Angular meetup. And this guy was presenting. It just so happened that like he's also an expert in Google Cloud Platform where we're hosted. So Matt just like talked to him after the thing. We set up a call, just like kind of look at our infrastructure and all of this, hit it off pretty well. And so like just structured it again where like he was a consultant, could come in, do kind of like a first audit of things, say these are the areas I'd work on first. And like he broke it down for us almost more like what we usually have to do is figure out, okay, this is the big stuff that we need to get done. We'll break it down so we can hand it out in more bite-sized parts. But he did that for us. And we said, all right, like tackle this first one. We'll see how it goes. And he did a really good job. And so we've kept working with him. But I just, especially with like a lack of like actual technical skills, and with Matt not having like management or hiring experience in the technical side of things, it's like we just have to work with them. We really do. And this has been the way we've done that so far.
Yeah. I like that approach a lot. I mean, I think that I might flip our process around next time to have an application and then do a test project. So I had about 12 calls with initial applicants and then 5 or 6 went on to the test project. And so, you know, selfishly only having, you know, 4, 5, 6 calls would be nice instead of 12. But also, yeah, I mean, really at the end of the day, like you want to grade and measure someone on their ability to write code and to solve the problem with code and communicate that. And that is what a test project does much better than me chit-chatting with somebody and, you know, the subjective stuff of like kind of quote, do I like them, that I think can get us all into trouble.
When you're posting, like for this developer, when you posted on WeWork remotely, like how did you position the position, I guess? Like, did you say like, this is a full-time contractor role? Like you are joining the team? Like how did you kind of phrase that?
Yeah, I mean, we phrased it that is it a full-time role and that we were looking for a senior developer.
Okay.
And I think that that's one of the biggest things that we've learned is senior developers are obviously more expensive, but from my experience that they're worth the value just in kind of what you get back out of their contribution, in my experience.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's how we've felt. It's just like, even within that, there's so much like nuance to like what is a good senior developer. Like these people might have the experience, but like what specifically do we need? Like, do we need them to help a lot on the spec? Do we need them to just like be able to figure things out on their own? Like, do we need them to kind of take over for managing some of these other people? Like there's just so many different layers. And this is where, yeah, we've kind of just had to adapt and make mistakes. And just end up where we're at, where like, yeah, right now it's Matt is full-time again, the founder, he kind of can work on everything, but he works on the most core, like product features that touch all parts of the code. John is really in charge of like cleaning all of our data. We just brought on 2 developers contract to like collect the data. And then we've got Brian on the front end. And like, the system, it's not like some are contractors, some are full time, it's just like all over the place. But like so far, like things are, we're finally at the spot where like, all right, like this seems like we kind of are hitting our stride. And so then I was like, all right, let's throw a wrench into this and bring in someone on support, because like between me making sure all these projects are going forward without like burdening all of them with like too many meetings. It's not like just me trying to keep the ball going forward there, staying on top of support, dealing with our partners and just everything else. It's like I couldn't do anything on marketing. And it'd be the same thing you were saying, where it's like at the end of the day, there still felt like there was way more that needed to be done, where and that was like, this isn't sustainable. So for the support, what we did, and this is where I felt fortunate, is like we have a strong community amongst our customers, and just people who've used the product in the past, even if they're not active. But I knew that like with support, the skills were more easily coachable, of just like what makes, like how to be a high performing support agent. I thought was more easy to train, but I thought what would be more difficult was all of like the aspects of daily fantasy sports and like what kinds of things like make sense and what kind of things don't. And then like our product itself, because like, if you don't understand, like not even just the basics, but like if you're not comfortable playing daily fantasy sports and like having some idea beyond just the basics of like what makes a good lineup and this and that, a lot of the questions that we get are from newer players who are asking for like strategy help. And like, I don't want to have to be like handling all of those, because those are often some of the more like complicated ones to answer. So I really wanted someone who could help there. And also translate that into like how to do these things in the app. And so I just posted it out, didn't even really write like a job description, kind of just like some bullet points in an email to our customers, saying like, hey, we're hiring for this position. Here's like a high level what you're looking for, what we're looking for. Set up, I just use a Google form for this. And then went through like a process very similar to what you talked about with the going through the Gravity form for the developers and the kind of like screening through that. But yeah, we made a hire. And I kind of said it as like, we'll do a 2-week like trial period. Because again, this is part time. So like they're able to balance it with their job and we're not expecting them to leave their job. I was really impressed with the quality of applicants we got from our customers. And I think there's like, I'm trying to find ways to like keep engaged with all these people, because like we selected one, but there's a lot of other people that could have been a good fit.
When you are bringing somebody on for a 2-week trial, like how much of that trial is like them actually being productive, you know, and like answering tickets and stuff, or are you just measuring like, okay, can they kind of get in and understand what I'm talking about? Do we kind of get along and communicate well? And that you mentioned like coaching somebody up to be, I'll say, productive and keeping the support queue cleaned out. Like how much of that are you expecting in 2 weeks?
I don't know. So this is where it kind of, but it's like right now, the reason why this candidate stood out is, one, at his day job, he does QA at a software company. And like is familiar with Python and SQL, is like not like a highly skilled programmer in his own right, but like has taught himself these concepts and is working in a field where like, oh, like, this is not what I was trying to hire for, but like as part of like a support role, like this is very valuable to us, because a lot of what we're doing is like troubleshooting what our users are doing to see if there's a bug or what's going on. So like that made him stand out right away. But also he would, in our Slack chat, which is very active with our customers, and there's like a support channel in there, he was answering questions like before I would. And they were like, not always like exactly what I would say, but like I could tell he understood the product, and like it was like, okay, like this guy like gets it. So I'm pretty optimistic about what, how quickly he'll be able to ramp up. And like really what we've done is our hours are weird. Well, like our like schedule's weird, where it's like he's gonna be working Thursday through Monday. All of our customers, the vast majority of our usage comes on the weekend. New signups come on the weekend. That's when support comes in primarily. So we just had to set it up that way. And like the only hours I really care about are the hours leading up to the start of the NFL games on Sunday morning. And so like his first day was just like, he and I jumped on Zoom. I went through the inbox and just kind of like talked about what I was doing. after obviously getting him like set up and all our tools and stuff. And we did that for like a few hours, and then from there, like he got it. There's still like a bit more of like the, there's all like the things that like I know how to troubleshoot, but I haven't like, I just kind of take for granted. So there's going to be a lot of like things to figure out there, but like he picked up pretty quickly. And then what I've done is just like, all right, like go through the inbox and just leave as a comment your reply. And then I've just been reviewing those. But like, I think this weekend he'll probably be just like responding directly to the customers. And then I can be much more hands off there, but that's been how this has worked so far. But yeah, I feel like we're in a weird spot where like our customers have different expectations. Like they are, it's sort of like people new to podcasting. Like they might be emailing you. They're not really asking directly about the software. They're more asking like, how do I podcast? They're like, okay, like what's the best way to do this and that. And I know you recently brought on Matt to help, not necessarily exactly with that, but kind of with strategy and just like, you wanted someone experienced with that. Can you just share a little bit about like what drove that decision for you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that like, I view what Matt does as a form of customer service. Like we call it success, but I think it's, you know, different flavors of the same thing. I mean, like if you look at, like at the beginning, there's only one person running a company, right? And as we grow, we hire people to take some parts off of our plate, right? And so as non-technical founders, the first one is a developer. And the second one, a lot of times, is a support person so that we can focus on marketing. And for us, like that next person is, I was still and still do, I would say it's maybe my biggest single thing is support. And kind of like this element of success, like someone doesn't understand how to use our thing. They really want to be on our platform. And so I get on a call with them or I email them about, you know, advanced troubleshooting or setting stuff up or something like that. And so, yeah, I mean, I kind of look at all this as like, I need to continue to hire myself out of doing actual work, you know, to get people that are better than me, in these roles. And that was one that like, I thought was pretty high leverage, you know, was like, if someone can come in and be a really good podcaster and can talk to people really well and can create these kind of pieces of content that also kind of serve as marketing, that you know, we'll be better off because of it.
How do you, because you talk about this being like a higher leverage hire, how are you decide, because I mean for both of us there are still so many things that we're doing day to day in the business that like we could theoretically hire for. So how do you navigate that decision of which parts of my day should I be trying to delegate to someone else? Like how did you pick, okay, this is a time for this, this is a time for that?
I think I do this pretty badly. And that like I know there's a lot of people that guard their time really closely, you know, saying like I only do email at 9 o'clock and 4 o'clock and I don't have podcast episodes except for Thursday afternoon and all this kind of stuff. And that is not me. I'm just kind of wide open anytime, all the time. And as a result, I think I do a poor job. Well, I have room for improvement when it comes to how I spend my time, you know, and being super effective there. But part of it is like what I like doing, you know, and I especially don't like creating video content. And that's like the biggest reason we hired Matt is for him to really beef up our YouTube presence, because I think it's a huge avenue for us from a marketing perspective. The other one is these kind of success things like webinars. So we're starting to do quite a few webinars with partners. And the other one that was kind of an intangible for him is he's super plugged into the WordPress space. And that's a place that I am not strong. And so he has a lot of connections there. And so I guess like you were asking, like, how do I measure like the leverage or the value of my time? If he's doing that, like what else am I doing? I think maybe it's not like what's higher leverage, but like, what do I like doing?
Yeah.
Is like, I want to end up just being like the director of product. And I think that's where we're trying to go is like, I like talking marketing stuff, but like the next time I have to go write a blog post, it's going to be a bad thing, you know, like, I mean, I tried to set some stuff up in Drip the other day, and it was a disaster. I was finally just like, Denise, I'm sorry. Like, I created a crow's nest here. Like, can you please help me figure this out? But I totally dig chatting with our designer and our developers, and Matt in a way, because he's product focused and he's a podcaster, so he gets like the pain, you know, that I bring, like that perspective. But I really like that part of the job and of like what we do, and like if I could just be like head of product, that's what I want to do. And so part of it was like, I don't like doing video. I don't want to be getting on the phone with customers all the time forever. You know, we did have a stint where I was getting on the phone a lot with customers, and that was really helpful. But I think we need a person to own success. And so that's why we did it. But yeah, I don't know. Does that answer what you're getting
at?
Well, it
does. And I think that, yeah, I don't have like this like exact equation or anything like that for how I do this myself. And at the end of the day, we have to figure out what keeps us going, and makes us want to show up every day, and kind of optimize around that as well. But when you hired Denise before Matt, and so I'm just kind of curious, like, why marketing before success? Like, and what was there something that like led you that direction first? Mm. I'm just curious about this.
Yeah, I think if we looked at why we hired Denise was to grow revenue, and I guess, yeah, I think that like hiring a person focused on growth and marketing should grow revenue faster than somebody focused on success. Maybe it's like a little higher in the funnel, if you want to use that kind of analogy.
Yeah.
Where like Denise is getting eyeballs to the site and a bunch of other stuff, but like say that's like the primary focus, and Matt is more down around the conversion area and retention. So yeah, and I think that's as I'm saying it out loud, that seems smart in retrospect. I don't know. Is that like how you would look at approaching it? Like if with your kind of marketing efforts and stuff?
I mean, for me, and I know you're similar, where it's like your background is a lot in sales, but obviously marketing as well. And like that's me, and I think, yeah, it's just tough because like there's always a balance of okay, where is the best place to spend my time? And just balancing that against like, where do I want to spend my time? And I'm with you. Like, I think product, like directing the product, and just working on marketing strategy without getting in the weeds. Like nothing slows me down more than like looking at a blank piece of paper and writing out the copy for whether it's an email, a landing page, whatever. Like, I lose all momentum when I have to like get in the weeds and start like writing, start creating something from scratch. Mm. But like right now, like I can do it. And I think I do it well, even if I don't love it. I really do love thinking about like the marketing strategy and all of that. But like a lot of it too is just ease. Like I think it would be really hard for me to hire someone who could be like that marketing like operator who is just like, gets the strategy enough where like I don't need to spec every little thing out and can kind of just go and execute. I think it would be a lot of difficulty to find that, a lot of difficult like onboarding that. And at the end of the day, like right now, like I can do it. And so that's where I've struggled is just like, is that where it's like support side of it. It's like, okay, like I do think I add value to this process, but I'm confident that I could bring someone up to speed who's familiar with the product, familiar with DFS, and they could add a ton of value on their own, without much difficult, like much like time on my part. And like that just immediately opens me up to like tackle marketing. But now that like I'm getting more into the marketing side of it, especially with like ads, it's like, I don't want to be like, I'm not a designer. Like I don't want to be like building these ads and then building the landing pages and like all this other stuff. And so then it's thinking about like, okay, like do I hire Facebook ad specialists? Like it seems like a lot of them like don't create the ad, like don't create the landing pages much themselves. It's like that's where it's just like trying to figure out like what's next, because there are just still a ton of bottlenecks that where I'm the bottleneck, and it's like, or like these are things I hate doing that take me a long time to do. Yeah, it's like I don't really have in my kind of long ramble, I don't really have an answer, but it's just something that I'm always kind of thinking about, like, where am I a bottleneck? And then, like, is this something I can easily hire out for? Or should I just, like, suck it up and just deal with it for, let's, like, punt it down the road a little bit and see if it gets easier when we have a bit more money? Because that's the other part, is, like, right now I looked at, like, working with some, like, paid advertising agencies. A lot of them aren't, like, truly full service. Like, they expect you to have landing pages and come with all these things. Like, no, like, that's why I want an agency. But
right.
It's like, but then, yeah, it's just like thinking about budget, because at the end of the day, like, we are bootstrapped, and we want to grow quickly, but, like, do we want to have an actual burn rate? Like, do we want to outspend our MRR temporarily or maybe for longer, like, to grow faster? Like, how much risk are we willing to take? And that's something that, like, we're kind of grappling with right now. And for you guys, like, is it kind of straightforward in the sense of, like, we only hire when we have the cash in terms of recurring revenue? Or, I mean, I guess you did take in money from Tiny Seats. Like, how did you navigate that of, like, balancing profitability with growing the team, with increasing expenses? Was there something you're shooting for, or just how did you navigate that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that, so we got $120,000 from Tiny Seed, and it sounds like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money. But when you look at, like, you know, kind of changing the trajectory of the business, it's not a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I looked at it was, in hindsight, like, about half right. and it was, I wanted to take, like, a burn rate trajectory where in a year we would spend all of the money. That was okay. Kind of like what I wanted to do. So we hired Denise and we brought one of our developers from part-time to full-time.
With the plan of, at the end of that year, being able to sustain it, I'm assuming, with growth, like, the growth you've... Yeah, okay.
Yep. And so it's like Denise's salary, a developer's full-time salary, you know, that change plus, like, a marketing budget. And for us, we spent a lot of money on ads. Well, for us, we spent a lot of money on ads, up to like $7,000 or $8,000 a month at one point.
Oh, wow.
And turns out, like, none of it really worked that well. We have one ad channel that works decently well, but there's not a lot of volume to it, so we don't spend a lot there. So what ended up happening, though, is I didn't consider exactly what you said, which was, like, revenue increases, hopefully, when you bring somebody on a team, whether it's a developer or a marketing person or a support person, for you to go do more marketing. And so, like, it kind of eats away at your burn rate, right? Growth eats away at your burn rate, to where we only spent about half of our money. So we were back breaking even.
Okay.
About, you know, we were breaking even about 10 months after we joined Tiny Seed.
Okay.
Yeah. But it only spent, like, half the money. You know what I mean?
Would you have spent it?
To explain.
Like, do you think that is a decent balance, or do you think you should have hired more, like, hired faster?
Yeah. So I have, like, a kind of rule of thumb now, I guess, which is, I want to have 3 months of salary in the bank. It's whichever is the greater of these.
Okay.
3 months of salary in the bank and or a year of our burn rate, of our, like, negative burn rate.
Okay.
So okay. 3 months salary, say we're spending 25 grand a month in salary. I want to have 75 grand in the bank. Or if I say we're going to go spend 20 grand a month that we don't have, we need to have 240 grand in the bank. So yeah. And that's where we are. And we in the last, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 months got quite profitable and have, you know, whatever, a lot more money in the bank than we need. And so that's why we hired a developer. And we'll go slightly kind of cash flow negative for a few months. And then I expect, you know, based on our current growth rate, that we'll be back up above profitability. And then we'll hire a support person, because that's the next thing that we'll need.
Yeah. I don't have, like, rules of thumb, but, like, we do have kind of diverse income where we have our standard customers just paying us, whether it's monthly or annually. And then we have some enterprise partners that pay us, like, a significant lump sum, basically once a year. And so
That fucks up your cash flow planning big time, doesn't it?
Oh yeah. So well, yeah, entirely. So like now that our kind of more stable recurring revenue has grown significantly, we're able to like sustain the team on that with like a decent-ish buffer, but I'm probably going to like eat up that buffer intentionally. And like what I'm trying to, the way I'm thinking about it is, okay, as long as there is a place where I think bringing a new person in will yield an ROI, or like just significantly improve like our livelihoods, like and like our just well-being, like we hate doing this and it's questionable if like it's worth bringing someone else in. Like, I don't know if we'll be able to reallocate that time to something better, but like, this is just like killing us doing this every day. I think like I'm fine hiring for that and getting to zero revenue, zero like positive cash flow through those types of hires. I don't think, but I think like we'll run out of those not too far down the road. But then the way I look at the kind of influxes of cash is saying, okay, these are irregular. It's also like not, can't get too deep into like the contract terms, but like it's, they could go away. So we don't want to like hire assuming that the next year is going to come. But it's like, I look at that, this is like, okay, again, assuming like we have a positive investment, what are kind of the one-off things that we can hire contractors for who just for like a couple months can work on, can knock this thing out, that we think is going to be worth it. But like, I don't view those as like the ongoing costs. And so that's how I've been approaching it recently, is saying, okay, like who are the team members? What are the roles that won't go away, that like we need these forever? And then when we have cash in excess of that, are there one-off projects that we can take on with this cash to move us even faster? But it's like at the end of the day, I'm fortunate enough where like I have other streams of income. My wife has a well-paying job. We don't have kids. Like I don't need to take capital out of this business. And it would just be, I put it like invest it. And like there's no investment that would have a better return in my mind than like putting it back in the business if there are those like clear projects or roles or whatever to fill. So like as long as I feel like there's that return, I'm going to keep pouring back the money in. It's just finding some way to balance it and make sure like we don't burn too much. But I'm definitely not on the super conservative side. But with going through that period of 4 months with no revenue and when sports was shut down, it's making me like a little more cautious where I'm not just saying like just burn everything. It's like, all right, let's have some balance here, but it's definitely not time to turn on the distributions for us.
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely on the same page with, I think the best investment I can make is just putting everything I can back into the business. Whether it's that we'll sell the business in the future or at some point, you know, it's a big enough business where we hire a CEO or a COO and I just go off and do something else and have this thing that pays all my bills and I can go, you know, whatever at that point. Because that's the most secure retirement possible, I think. You know, much better than like the stock market or anything. Either one of those, selling and having a bunch of cash or having this thing that pays you forever.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a great annuity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think that could be an entire multiple episode series on kind of the plans for the future and what we're ultimately trying to build and all of that. I think that's something we'll have to save for a future episode. But I think it's been great kind of digging into your hiring philosophy and how you're navigating this. But I mean, you know, on my side, it's just like there's just still so much to learn. Like I know we're screwing things up right now, and I just try to like. That's where I kind of fall back on thinking about leverage and thinking about like capital allocation and just like thinking about like, is this the right thing to be investing in? Because even when I inevitably like fuck it up in some way, it's like probably not that big of a mistake because like I keep adding more and more guardrails and process around like doing things right. As long as I'm just putting money in like generally the right area, I feel like it makes the mistakes less bad when they happen, but they're definitely going to keep happening.
I think the interesting next step for both of us will be going from, you know, hiring cadence of every quarter or something like that to, you know, two or three people a month, you know, and like how that, cause you can't recreate the wheel in terms of like that thought process every time then, right? It has to be like, when this trigger happens, go hire somebody. And solidifying that, even if it changes over time, but just saying like, okay, today, this is the trigger for when we hire somebody, I think will be really interesting. And I mean, I think you guys are on the path there. I think and hope we are too. And is something that I'm starting to think about. It's like, yeah, how can I think about hiring, you know, 5 or 10 people a year instead of one? So I don't think it's that far off. Like, I think from here, it's not at the kind of growth rate sounds like you're going at. It's not that far off.
No,
it sounds really hard right now.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll just kind of say this publicly as sort of like a, just so I don't make any dumb mistakes down the road. Well, again, we will make plenty of dumb mistakes, but like, I do hope that there is a point where like, I don't want to hire for hiring sake. Like, I don't want to keep expanding the team. And I just want to always do my best to like kind of have some of that calculus in the back of my mind of like, is this going to generate a return? Because just because the capital is there, the cash flow is there, doesn't mean we need to make that higher. But I mean, we'll see when we get there. There's always ways to spend the money. It's just whether or not you need to.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Cool, man. Fun chat. For folks who want to kind of chime in on this and give their thoughts about hiring and resource allocation and all that, seekingscale.com. Would love to hear from you.
Awesome. Well, Craig, this was fun, and I'll talk to you next week. See everybody.